o'clock on Tuesday, July 17th. Feels like forever since we've done a podcast, when in reality we did three last week. Usually there's about two, sometimes a little bit more. But it is good to have you here on tonight's podcast. You hear that? Solo tonight. We've got one with a favorite podcast guest tomorrow night lined up, a big guest next week, and then we should all be back together this coming Saturday. Philip, who's headed away, I think we can grab him, and Ashley and Demetrius, but it's Eric Chase. Thanks for being here. Last night on the radio show on Q105, I was out of rhythm for some reason. I don't know. I didn't feel like I had a bunch of like killer content. There are days where I've got so much in the notes app on my phone, and I cannot wait to get in here and do the show. And then there are other days like yesterday where it's like, yeah, everybody's focused on Amazon Prime Day, and I don't want to talk about the dust up on my Facebook page over the weekend. That doesn't belong on the radio. That's podcast material. So I was like in the middle of last night, like, okay, we're going to do the show, but some of this should be on the podcast. So I was stuck last night. It was like, you ever have those days where you're just in a fog, you're in sludge, and you can't get anything going? That was yesterday on the show. If you listen to any of it, you're probably like, it sounded fine. I realize that, but I'm mostly the expert here, and I hold myself to a very high standard. What to get to? The podcast stuff I had set aside. There is something I made up, an anniversary that I made up. Diddy, my older dog, the bigger beagle, the 8.5-year-old, is into some strange things lately, and some help would be welcome. The hamburger Ghazi. I saw a Ghazi reference today in regards to something with the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby. They called it Bryce Ghazi, so I'll call it Hamburger Ghazi. Again, I seek your input on this. And then some tweets I've seen today in regards to the president's comments and how it affects people who are trying to do their job. The beginning of it, the catalyst of the small topic here on the podcast is, of course, him. But it's more about how people go about their everyday work lives. Okay, we'll get to that, and then maybe a couple of leftover things. One of the things that I've always been bad at, like, I can sit here and talk by myself, but the hardest thing I've ever had to do, and it was truly a challenge during my TED Talk last September, where you got to do those things in 17 minutes. I needed to be, I guess, more succinct to keep things within the proper segment time. And another great benefit of podcast, I can sit here and ramble forever. But if I ramble too much, I will lose you. And you'll hit the skip 15 seconds ahead button. All right, so I made something up. I had seen it on Friday or so, Friday the 13th. And then I think maybe the day after, I saw a picture of where I was last year on either July 13th or 14th. But it drew me into July 14th, where Dennis Swan and Danny Woodcock asked me to help them out at their Downtown 419 rooftop library party. By the way, the one that's coming up, I believe, this Saturday night, they are not connected to. That is not a Downtown 419 party. But Dennis and Danny asked me to help serve beer. I'm like, not bartend, right? No, just pour beer. Well, I can do that. And I was on a networking and socializing rampage. And it also was to my benefit to be out and let people go, hey, you're not on the radio anymore. I'm like, no, here's what happened. So, and it was a great time and just the right amount of people at that party for my taste. It was busy, but not too packed and crowded. And I had a great night. And I met another girl named Alex, who we served together at a couple other events. And she works at a coffee shop. And her dog is a great follow. Her dog, yes, is a great follow on Instagram. But that was the night, July 14th. And it was a Friday, I think, last year. This year it was a Saturday. It was July 14th of last year where I met my now current girlfriend, Lindsay. After the party wrapped up, it was like 11 o'clock or so. It ended kind of early. People dispersed from the library and everybody was kind of roaming all over downtown looking for food. I had met Lindsay, who was there with a friend of hers, who I knew from WTOL, just all the media people who kind of know one another, whether it be in real life or through social media. So I met them that evening, or met Lindsay that evening, and then we all kind of met together again, looking for food at the Dirty Bird later on, but their kitchen had closed. I'm like, hey, well, let's go over to Home Slice. I bought them some beers, and then I had realized that she, Lindsay at the time, I was like, this girl's pretty attractive. Like, I'm interested. But she had a boyfriend, and I was respectful of that. Fast forward 6 months later, January, and it's Lindsay's birthday. So the appropriate things on Facebook were happening, and she's not real Facebook active. Wasn't then, isn't really now. And we hadn't spoken over those 6 months. But, you know, you see people's stuff pop up in your timeline, and unless you really engage with them, it's very infrequent when you see them. So it was her birthday. I was like, hey, if you're downtown, grab me. I'll buy a birthday drink. And one of two things was going to happen. Well, one of a couple of things would have happened. The thing that did happen was that I realized that she was no longer in relationship. So I was like, we were texting, and would you like to go out? And then that was the middle of January. Or the third week of January. And then before the end of January, we went out. And we didn't go out. I made her dinner. I felt like we were comfortable enough for me to say, hey, why don't you come over? And I enjoy doing this. I invented low-key long before it was like slang, an internet slang. And the funny story is, she asked, where should she go downtown? I said, essentially Home Slice. As to where I lived, like where should I park? Essentially Home Slice. So it was about, I think it was 7:15, and it was a little after that. And I think she let me know that she's usually on time. I appreciate people who let me know that they're going to be late, and they are chronically late. Just like I feel the need to inform you, great, I'm chronically early. If we're on opposite sides of that, this isn't going to work. But it was like 7:20. I'm like, oh, where is she at? She's like, I'm like, where are you at? She said she's at the bar at Home Slice. Oh, I forgot. I'm very, very explicit with words. And we'll wrap back around to that at the end of the podcast. Something that happened on Facebook that irked me humorously, but I was a little bothered by it. I said essentially Home Slice, not exactly Home Slice. But we had a good night, and 6 months later, here we are. So I called that day. I don't know what day. I forget what day her birthday was. I forget what day we had that essentially Home Slice night. I forget first sex, first out. I forget it all. I don't remember. I know that we did a like pre-Valentine's Day dinner at Registry. Don't remember the date. I just remember it was around Valentine's Day. And I was like, we should go on a Saturday night before Valentine's Day because it'll be less crowded. I kind of remember when I met Cohen because it was an event for someone in Lindsay's family. So but I do remember July 14th. So I call it my Noaversary. 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 So it wasn't dating for a year. A friend of mine thought, he's like, I had no idea you were going out for a year. I was like, oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean to put it that way. I've known her for a year. And look, I even question myself by giving it that distinction, because from July through January or so, or at least through the end of the year, I didn't interact with her at all. So while I knew Lindsay, I didn't interact with her at all. But still, I thought it was kind of neat, and it fit my eccentric or esoteric personality to be a little unique like that and have a no-iversary. Feel free to take that if you'd like. I think I asked a couple of weeks ago on one of the podcasts with Ashley and Dee, like, when can I say, can I backdate the beginning of our relationship to that essentially Home Slice night? Because for my money, I was committed to moving forward with that, and I put all other interests aside and focused it. So they're like, no, that's ridiculous. That's fine. They get to tell me that. Also connected to Lindsay, and the other reason that I didn't want to do a podcast last night, Monday night, was I was loaded up with relationship stuff, and I didn't want to beat you over the head with Lindsay and Cohen. But this is those two connected, but it also comes back to something else that I think you have an interest in me for. My dogs. First of all, Andre is mercilessly jealous when Lindsay and I are sitting next to one another, or Andre is just jealous of my attention on anyone else but him. That's manageable because I can push him away because he's 18 pounds. So two times now, Lindsay has gone over to Cohen as he's sleeping, as they've slept over, to say goodbye to him as she's getting ready to leave for school. And he one time snapped at her. Another time, he angrily lunged at her. It was bizarre behavior. I cannot figure out why. I have never seen Diddy do anything aggressive or angry. I'll adjust that. He gets barky at other dogs, but nothing outrageous. And I keep him on the leash tight so he's not going anywhere. But he's just overly social. And not all dogs get along. So I'm wary of that. But he has never exhibited any aggressive behavior towards any person I have ever seen like this before. Where it was if you're familiar with dogs, where they show their teeth kind of deal. I bring this up because on Saturday night, Cohen is eating ice cream on my living room floor. He's already jumped on the new couch. That's got to stop. Eating ice cream on the new couch? Absolutely. There are very few rules in my house. So he's eating the ice cream on the floor, and he drops some. Okay, not a big deal. I don't even care if the dogs go over to lick it up. Diddy goes over to lick some of it up, and was he licking it up first? He was licking some of it in the trail of ice cream. But I think Lindsay goes over to clean some of it up, and Diddy bit her. So his aggressive behavior towards Lindsay is escalating, and I can't figure it out. My dad would always tell the story, and this weaves into how I'm such a dog lover. When I was a little boy, when I was little Eric, my dad tells me to this day. But back then, when I was an infant in my crib and just a little boy, a toddler, people would come over to the house, and it was just me. It was me, my mom, my dad, and we had a dog, a German Shepherd, named Tequila. He's in some pictures way back on Instagram. Maybe I should put some up. He was a German Shepherd, and I cried. I had to take a day or two off of school. I couldn't go to my baseball game one night because of the afternoon my dad and my Uncle Jeff had to put him to sleep. So he was the dog that helped me create this canine enamoration that I have to this very day. People would come over the house and they would attempt to go near me or like go upstairs to, I guess, where my crib or my room was. And he would growl and get angry and stand in the way of the steps and protect me. Makes sense. I was like a helpless little child or toddler. And these, I guess, for the most part, were not close relatives, but they were strangers or distant relatives or people who weren't often over the house. Lindsay's over my house 3 or 4 days a week, if not more. Cohen's over 2 days a week, sometimes more. And I can't figure out why Diddy would do this. Why he would, like, there's never been any kind of aggressive behavior. If anything, he would freak out, like, if I pick up Cohen by his ankles and, like, take him into the bathroom and go, time out, and do, like, I'm teasing him a little bit. I could see why Diddy would lose his shit with that, but this stuff doesn't make any sense. I spoke to my friend Laura at Lucas County Canine Care and Control, and she brought up resource guarding, and it was mostly centered around food, and I've heard of the term food guarding before, where animals are and I've never had a pet like this, or I don't know personally any dogs like this, where they're like the Incredible Hulk. If you go near their food while they're eating, actually, I take that back. I think Tequila, that dog, that German Shepherd we had, would show his teeth if you went near him while he was eating his food. But it was never a big problem. But some dogs can just completely change their personality from friendly and amenable and loving to angry if you go near their food. But none of that has happened. It's just bizarre to see this with Diddy. And there was like one comment or a small part of this article that talked about how going near certain people, but strangers were involved. And this is myself and Lindsay and Cohen and Diddy and Andre, we're all five of us are together in the house when we're there. There's no strangers. There's no aggressive human behavior. I cannot. He bit Lindsay, and I don't think he broke her skin, but he got her good. She recoiled pretty quickly, and I was very upset. So many things were flashing through my mind at the time. I picked up Diddy and dragged him. I picked him up. I was angry as anything. I picked him up, and he doesn't like getting picked up as it is. He just tries to squirm out of my hands. I picked him up and left him in the bathroom for about 10 minutes. So that so that I could cool off and try to figure out what the fuck just happened. So I'd like any kind of feedback on that. I would understand food guarding. I would understand if he'd even snap at Cohen because he took his ball or something, but Diddy's not aggressive like that. I could understand if he had maybe seen Lindsay get the belt out, for lack of a better way of putting it, or really, I have never seen Lindsay get really angry with Cohen other than just use a stern voice. There's no good reason in my mind or for what I can come about to why Diddy would do this. Next up, and thanks for listening to the podcast here. Is it a lot more boring? Is it boring when it's just me? It's certainly not as funny when we're all screwing around laughing at one another. Red Robin. I've known Red Robin since the first time I went to it when I think my dad and brother came to visit me in Detroit sometime in 2001 or 2002. And I've always loved the place. And I can't figure out why they keep changing. So for the longest time, it was, you know, really good big burgers. And then bottomless fries came along. And I was like, this is heaven for me. Because I do have an inner fat person, an inner fat kid. And I was a chubby little kid. Thankfully that I was athletic and that offset probably a lot of the fat kid jokes and bullying I could have been subjected to. And I was a bigger kid, like bigger than most, like taller, so people didn't really bully me. I was fortunate, and I was also good at sports. But I've got to keep that fat kid restrained at times when it comes to you know, drinking and then going on a carb binge of Taco Bell or letting me loose at a Chinese buffet. Hell, give me a CC's here. I'll go pay my $5 or $6 and then go to town for half an hour on crappy pizza buffet. There's a sticker on my arm from Bananas, I think. So you just heard me rip off. So bottomless fries were right in my wheelhouse. And then I guess within the last 5-6 years, I think we all kind of noticed that Red Robin began to become more bar pub like, less all American family restaurant. And I guess maybe I'm just ultra observant always. So I noticed this, and maybe you weren't supposed to notice it, but I certainly did. And then the burgers began to shrink just a little bit. But I remember in the past, the burgers were big and juicy looking like they were in the menus. And they often took up more of the plate or the tray than the fries did. And then they began to shrink and they give you more fries. And I get that. That probably makes financial sense. Let's like, they fill you up with bread at restaurants. They were filling you up with fries so they could have smaller burgers. And, you know, I get it. It's a business. They're in this to make money, but I'm not an idiot. I noticed these things shrinking because my hands certainly weren't getting larger. My mouth wasn't either. So then the transition happened to more adult-friendly, more pushing of alcoholic options, like decadent drinks. And they looked really good. They tasted really good, and it was worth the price. They changed the menu, and it was much more refined and regal-looking, mature-looking, and it was quite aesthetically pleasing. And at this point in time, I began to see the burgers, and this is like within the last 2 years, the burgers started to regain their size. They would more closely resemble the pictures on the menu. So then I go there this weekend. And by the way, at that point in time, I was satisfied that the burgers seemed to have their supersize back. We go this weekend to the one on Monroe, and the service was fine, and fries were good as always. The girl, Talia, T-A-L-Y-A. I really appreciate a server that puts up with my sarcastic sense of humor when you play back with me, as opposed to getting maybe easily offended because I'm not doing it in a mean-spirited way, but I get it. I'm not everyone's flavor. And if you don't know me, you can certainly take me the wrong way. And if I sense that, I will apologize. And if I don't have that opportunity, and it's a case like this where it's a restaurant, I will make sure to tip well. I did both here. She was great. I couldn't wait to get home for the first time in my life. I couldn't wait to race home to give her flying A's, A pluses across the board with her service. But the burger was small again. And I'm just wondering if I'm not the only one that notices this. And the prices had gone up when they made the menu nicer before, and they've stayed up, which was fine when the burgers regained their size. But now that they're a little smaller again, almost like fast food burger sized, and you're going to charge me, what's the cheapest burger on the Red Robin menu? $8? And some of the magnificent ones are $11, $12, and they taste good, but they don't taste so good that they can continue to shrink. That's my my odyssey of observations from Red Robin to the Trump thing with Russia and Putin. And I guess he walked back some of his meddling thoughts today. But this is more about some of the tweets that I saw yesterday and some of the sentiments that it kind of threw a lot of people who risk their lives in very dangerous and often covert situations to protect the security of this country. And he said, I don't believe anything that they're doing. I believe Russia and what you said. And you didn't meddle, you didn't meddle. And here we have all these people putting their lives on the line. And I'm not necessarily talking about armed forces. I'm talking about like CIA, FBI, operatives who are infiltrating very dangerous people and groups to try to get information and the stuff that you see in the movies, things like that. And I saw people's sentiment that this troubled, I guess, some of them or family members of some of these people. And there was tweets from my friend that made me think of, I wonder if they just think about it this way. I have worked places where I, A, disliked my direct supervisor or company that I worked for, or B, disagreed with strategies and practices of my supervisor and or company overall. So I would come in, and this was mostly the case at the last place I worked. I disagreed with a lot of the things that we were subjected to, not at a local level, but much of the corporate pushdown, and I understood that I might act in a similar way if I was under the same financial constraints and pressures. But then again, I go under the motto and tenet of I want people to work with me, not for me, and I try to be as compassionate as I possibly can with co-workers and employees and even employers. I want to be a decent person and not be the squeaky wheel, which ultimately this might keep me from being a mega millionaire one day. It's a good thing I'd rather have, you know, millions of friends and influence than millions of dollars. So I went into work every day trying to make things good for my co-workers and to make sure they could enjoy their day at work. And in this brief dialogue on Twitter that I had with my great friend Shannon from back in, where the hell does she? She's back in Allentown. She's moved all over the Lehigh Valley area, back in Allentown, Pennsylvania. From what she had read and, you know, the thread that was going on between several people and myself, it was, yeah, that's who you do it for. You might disagree with who's calling the shots. You might dislike them. You might disagree with how they go about what they do and how they manage things, and they might make it a living hell for most people, but maybe you do like the job. Maybe you specifically like and or need the paycheck and some of the benefits, but at the end of the day, regardless of how much you dislike that person or disagree with them, and if you're going to stay in the job and you do like the people you work with, you come in every single day and you do it for them. So if you've ever been in a situation where you've had that, where you disagree with your boss or the company and their strategies or their certain philosophies on things. But maybe you like some of the people that you work with. I went to see a career counselor in 2012. I was working in Detroit doing sports radio, and I was literally in the throes of depression. I don't think I had thought of suicide prior to that. And I'd gotten past most of those thoughts. This was just complete and total lack of energy. There was a time I disappeared from work for a week using sick days or vacation days, and I shut my phone off. I was, for all intents and purposes, not dead to the world, but I was lost to the world. And this career counselor helped me a little bit, and I took a lot of tests like the Myers-Briggs and a bunch of other things that she had available, and I would say that it was worth it. One of the biggest takeaway that I had from working with this woman was something, I guess, I don't even remember the name of, but I share it now. I call it the 50-50 rule. And she told me that you put up with 50% of your job to do the other 50%, excuse me, that you love. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. For most of my career, all of it, my professional career in radio, I've always viewed it as, I think I love 75 to 80% of my job, and 20 to 25% I just do because I have to, so I can enjoy the massive other percentage that I'm fortunate enough to have. 50-50? No way. I don't think I could. There's probably not a dollar amount that you could put before me. I mean, sure, maybe. I guess we all have a price. If you wanted to offer me like $250,000 and 50% of the job I loathed, I don't know. I'd have to be in the exact situation. In this case, I have a hard time with hypotheticals and theoreticals. But I did learn this from her. So apply that to your situation and add that to the calculus of if you're in a situation of a lot of with a lot of challenges and a lot of coworker or managerial strife. Is the 50-50 rule in effect? Is it lower? Do you only love 30% and you're grinding through 70% to only get that 30? Try to get that balance of 50% or that 50-50. I wish I knew what the rule was. So we had the no-iversary, Diddy biting Lindsay and active and protecting Cohen unnecessarily. Everything going on with Red Robin and their incredibly shrinking burgers and their constantly changing aesthetic, which it's pretty simple. Be an all-American place, serve burgers and fries. I don't need the games on there. I don't need the drinking or the party aesthetic. I think I've always had really good service at Red Robin. I know as soon as I'm done ordering, I'm like, you can start bringing the fries right now. Bring them. Let's start the assembly line going. Everything has been great there, except for the incredible shrinking burgers. What else? Oh, so I posted something. And remember, I said something earlier in the podcast about I'm pretty explicit with the words that I use. And I very much try to avoid being broad and general. I do try to take the 30,000 foot view on many things and look at things from a global or universal perspective. I guess literally and figuratively in ways. But I am very careful with the words I use. And I am going to be guilty of generalizing and being broad because of what I do. I can't be that specific. That would be really boring and really inscrutable to listen to. But I posted a really cool topic. I got a ton of feedback on it on both the Q105 page and my Facebook page yesterday. And it was based off of a story I read in a legendary football writer's column, Peter King, and he was writing about Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers had two fears, heights and sharks. He said, I'm not jumping out of a plane. But the Discovery Channel called him and said, you know, we got Shark Week coming up. How'd you like to swim with sharks? And I think Lindsey Vonn was involved and some other actor, athlete, celebrity type. So Aaron Rodgers went through with it, got some advice, something along the lines of, don't turn your back on the shark. Stare them down to the eyes and don't take your eyes off their eyes and you will be good. And he conquered his fear. So let me, so that I am specific, give you what I wrote. Your two worst fears Which would you choose to try and conquer? I'm reading this. This is the text, and there's a video to go with it. Your two worst fears. Which would you choose to try and conquer? We're now up to 178 comments and 1,500 views. That's a lot of engagement. That's a lot of feedback. It's a pretty simple question. I was more interested in the second part of this. Your two worst fears. Okay, so there it is. State what they are. Which would you choose to try and conquer? There were about four people who followed those instructions. Of those 178 comments, many of them are mine. But about four or five people said, I'm scared of blank and blank, and I think I'd like to try and overcome this. Mine are Band-Aids because of nastiness in the summer camp pool way back when my tongue gets all freaky when I even think about it. And heights. Push me out of an airplane. I'll be scared. I'll try not to crap myself or pee myself in the anxiety going up in the plane. I just know that it would be a hell of an adrenaline rush. And something I could arguably get addicted to doing. Doesn't that happen to people? I do love adrenaline rushes. But I would rather try to overcome and conquer that fear than the bee thing. So I rue the day when Cohen is riding his bike or is running somewhere, trips, skips, skins his knee, and I'm like, you're getting like medical tape, which I'm totally fine with. Or my hand and a towel on it until it stops bleeding. And I can equate it back to what I said the other night on Facebook, which had so much chaos with the Trump thing. And I know that when there's a political or religious discussion, we really do overlook details. We get way too defensive and we just close our ears off from listening to the other person. And had people have read, and I know that I have careless typos on Twitter and other social platforms, but I think for the most part, when I'm trying to be explicit and detailed and very specific, I do it. Like, I get my point across. To what I'm looking to say, I get it across. You might take it another way, but that's on you. So how many? There was 224 comments on this, and it literally cost me a night of watching Netflix so that I could curate everything that was going on here. Was it with the ladies who wrote the N-word and hail Trump? And by the way, I wish we would have made a bigger deal out of that, because before the election, people who would write things like, this dude's got some Hitler-like tendencies. I'm like, no, you can't evoke Hitler. Like, you don't. There's a rule. It's something about, like, the longer an internet discussion goes on, it goes back to Hitler, and then all hell breaks loose. But he has made the commonalities far too real. So when you write hail, it does, for me, being Jewish, evoke Hitler, because hail, heil, Hitler. Yeah, that's really bad. So this woman, for me, with the N-word and hail, she hit the home run of insensitivities and hate and evil. But to my point of being specific, if you needed more that your boy and some, and again, I didn't emphasize this. I'll just read it without emphasis. If you needed more that your boy and some of his hateful followers are shades of post-World War I through the mid-1940s, it's emoji with cursing in it. If you needed more that your boy and some of his hateful followers are shades of post-World War I through the mid-1940s, you know, and then I shared the post. So there you go. The keyword should be some and shades. But people decided to get defensive and do name calling and all that nonsense. That's all that. Got to get ready for the show on the radio. Thank you for listening. I think Dr. Andrea will be on tomorrow. I want to ask her about DNA testing to get the correct mental health medications. There is a baseball issue. St. Louis Cardinals just fired their manager. He might have been too old school for today's players, today's generation of players, including supporting a pitcher on his team, a veteran pitcher on his team, who was maybe excessively bullying and teasing or mentoring, attempting to mentor a young pitcher on the team. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Andrea, because she taught a sports psychology class at the last semester, which I was unable to get to at the University of Findlay. That's that. And here's the conclusion.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.